World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Not sure what kind of mood I want to be in today. I know what kind of mood I'm in, and I don't know what kind of mood I want to be in today. Appreciate all of you joining us. I'm upstairs, Dale Socia's house. Dale's downstairs. A wonderful, wonderful night, wonderful weekend. I'm fatigued. Dale's fatigued. We're all tired. I can't even imagine how Clay Parker and Joe Allen and Craig Mickle and Chad and Randy and all those people who drove literally 10 hours, most of them, it was probably the average was a 10-hour drive to get here. We kept them pretty active when they were here. And then I look out, I see Clay's in the queue here this morning and Randy's in the queue here. I don't know who else is in the queue. And I don't know how to explain it. Not emotion's not the right word. Just the feeling that you have when you come away from something like this. And I'm not, again, I'm not trying to make anybody ever feel guilty, but I knew if you came, it'd be a life-changing event. And some of us, so we stayed around last night at Pastor Dale's at his church, King Jesus Ministries. We had probably, I don't know how many people had for supper last night. You know, we went to the clinic yesterday. I'll get into some of that here. We went to the clinic yesterday and then we ended up having a meal at King Jesus Ministries again last night. And I imagine there were 30 of us. That'd be a guess. Most people had decided to head home. We all understand what that's like. And we had another powerful night last night with Pastor Bill Shanks. Most of you don't even know Pastor Bill Shanks, but he's been in the pro-life, whatever you want to call this thing, for 40 years. Not just the pro-life, but been battling the devil out in the streets of New Orleans for 40 years. And I told Bill after he got through last night, he spoke for, I don't know, 35, 40 minutes, just from his heart. And I said, you know, Pastor Shanks, the brevity of what you say has unbelievable wisdom. I've never heard a guy say more with fewer words than Bill Shanks. And so we sat there last night and listened to him for about 40 minutes and the journey that we had a family. Folks, we had a maybe Dale can help me here. We had a mother in the room last night and her son was with her. Her son was, I believe, 14 years old, who Pastor Bill Shanks had saved from abortion 14 years ago. The mother was in the room with the 14-year-old son. And I mean, those kind of things, we're so short-sighted. We're so now conscious that we really, really lose what Pastor Fred would tell us, the law of sowing and reaping. That you do. See, God is unbelievably faithful to his end of the bargain. That's what we were talking about yesterday with the Pastor Dunphy had spoken about the night before. Can the Lord trust you? But see, it becomes even more than that. Can you trust him? Can you trust the Lord? Can we trust the Lord? Is Jesus Christ and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, the Bible says he's not a man that he should lie. Can we believe him? And if there's anything that you can't believe him in, you can't trust him in anything. So the truth of it is, we don't see, it's not faith, folks. That is not faith. It tells us in Hebrews that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Yeah, see, this the centurion, when he when he came to Jesus, he said, I see and I believe. Blessed are those who believe but have not seen. And to be really, really true here, the problem in us isn't him, it's us. It's us. You get up in the morning. I just did. I walked out of the bedroom here this morning. I went over and I turned on the light switch. And I never batted an eye, because you know why? I knew when I flicked that switch, the lights were coming on. I didn't have to pray about it. I didn't have to stand in faith. I didn't have to get the power of agreement from my wife, honey. Oh, honey, grab my hand and let's pray these lights come on. Walked up and hit the switch and lights came on. Why? That's what lights do. We don't have that kind of faith with the Lord. He's more consistent. He's more genuine. He's more real than the light switch that turns those lights on, to which that current runs. Yet I have more confidence in that light switch.
Amen. Amen, Coach.
It's the truth, man. He said, hey, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He said, all things are possible to everybody. No. All things are possible to who? To those that believe. We're the problem. Not him. We're the problem.
Coach.
Now, Coach, you know, when you turn that light switch on and the lights don't come on, you automatically go to the light bulb. See, it's not the power source. It's the receiving source. It's us. It's the light bulbs.
That's it, man. That's it. Go ahead.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
You know, the disciples faced the same quandary. And at one point, and it's recorded in Luke chapter 17, at one point they said, talking to Jesus, they said, increase our faith. And so Jesus told them about the mountain, you know, and all that and everything. But that was what would happen if you had the faith. But then he got and told them how to increase their faith after he told them about the mountain getting thrown in the sea. That's not how you don't increase your faith, by throwing mountains in the sea. You increase your faith. He told them, he says, which of you having a servant? And that servant comes in from the field and he says, which of you is going to serve that servant? Or are you, oh, don't you expect that servant to take care of your needs? And after your needs are met, then the servant can take care of his own needs. He says, that's the way it is with your faith. You do the small things. You do the things that are expected of you, and then your faith will increase. You don't start off great faith and increase faith, moving mountains and all the other, quote, things that you see a lot of the silly pretend church out there faking and doing. You build your faith by being faithful to and obedient to the Word of God.
Amen, Larry.
See, folks, listen. The problem in America is us. It's not the Lord. And can I ask you something? Somebody help me out here. But to me, this is some kind of morbid faith, morbid belief, that we would think that it would be the will of God to watch America crumble. Does anybody think that's the will of God? Does anybody think every good and perfect gift, every good, not bad gifts, every good gift comes from our Father above? Do we actually sit here today and think the Lord can't wait to smack us? Is that really it? See, there's something morbidly wrong with the way we think. Something morbidly wrong. And the only reason that we think the way that we think is because, for the most part, we've been taught that there isn't anything we can do about it, right? Can't do anything about it. It's all pre-written history. Coach, I read right there in the Bible, and this is what it says it's going to happen. And it becomes paralyzing to us. We're paralyzed. So we were in the Crescent City. That's what they call New Orleans. In the Crescent City. And I'm going to tell you something. Darkness abounds in the Crescent City. You drive down the road and you can see a haze of what you call whatever you want to over the city of New Orleans. And you drive into that city of New Orleans and you find that the city government, the Chamber of Commerce, everything associated with New Orleans is promoting voodoo and darkness. Because why? That's what draws the people to New Orleans. Right? It's an expectation. You pull into New Orleans, I don't care what you laugh all you want to. When you pull into New Orleans, there's an expectation of evil. A city given over to evil. What? Voodoo, Bourbon Street, Mardi Gras, Southern decadence. And the Christians in New Orleans think that's God's gift. We think that's the way God wants it to be. Because why? Well, he wrote a book a long time ago and he wrote it down. And he told us that in the end, things are going to get really, really bad. So what we see going on around us is God's will. Randy, do you think this is God's will? Do you think this mess that we look around, we're slaughtering babies and men are marrying men and government is so unfreaking believably corrupt? Do we believe, Christians, this is the will of God? Randy, is this the will of God? Come on in, Randy. Tell me, is this the will of God? Does God, when he told us he would never leave us, he would never forsake us, that every good and perfect gift come from the Father above, there's no shadow of turning, that this mess that we see, this is his will? Help me, Randy.
Go, Coach. Let me
help you.
No, Larry,
his
Larry, let Randy
for the church to come forth. That's God's will, the church, to prevail against the gates of hell. That is the will of God, Coach. Everywhere there's darkness, that is the will of God. In our country, in our state, in our local community, that's the will of God.
So why are we acting like it isn't? Why are we acting like his will is, it's going to be so bad, he's going to rapture us all out of it? What is wrong? What is wrong with our churches and our church leadership? Hang on, Larry, I feel you. Al, hang on a little bit. I got to ask this question. We know that what was going on here on Monday with Tony Spell is one of the most unbelievably dangerous hearings in the history of this land. And if you don't see that, I can't even help you. I can't even help you if you don't understand the magnitude of it. Can somebody tell me, please help me out here? Where was Focus on the Family? Where was American Family Association? Where was Tony Perkins? Where was T.D. Jakes and Jesse Duplantis? And where were all they?
Abdicating their responsibility, Coach.
Well,
they were where their hearts are. Their hearts are where their wallet is.
Well, of course that we know that. Of course we know that. But how do we get to the point? Even where was, somebody help me out here. Where was Pat Robertson and Christian Broadcasting Network? What's that other satellite? There's all kinds of satellite Christian programs all talking about the power of God and the greatness of God, and God wants to bless us. Where were they?
Hey, Coach.
Daystar.
The Christian media to let us know what was going on. Where were they?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I'll tell you where Tony Perkins was. He was with him with the sheriff and everybody else when they came to arrest him the first time.
That's right. Tony Perkins was with the sheriff when they came to arrest Pastor Spell, because Tony Perkins wanted Tony Spell to bend his knee to Baal. That's really what, hey, folks, I'm just telling you the truth. You may be a great supporter of Tony Perkins. Huh? I wouldn't give them a nickel if I had two. I wouldn't give one nickel.
Your answer was right there, and I was waiting for it. They were all still bending their knee and worshiping government.
Expecting things to get worse. Well, I'm going to tell you, I don't think they're going to get worse. I think they're going to get better. Arise, church, arise. I'll get you in here, I promise. That was the encouragement in my heart. Hey, folks, that's what I saw. That's what I saw yesterday when we took a group of people to an abortion clinic where they had never been before. And they looked in the eyes of evil. For the first time, some of those people stood on the sidewalk and they looked into the eyes of those death scorts. And they saw the face of evil. And I'm going to tell you, they will never be the same. Now, how long? How long is that buzz going to hold in there? How long is that going to remain real? How long will that buzz motivate them to do something, to overcome evil with good?
Yeah.
Here, Betty Perkins yesterday, for the first time in her life, gave her testimony. Those death squad, it was right at the end of the whole event. And Betty Perkins grabbed the microphone, and she didn't grab it. She took the microphone and she gave her testimony of what had happened to her as a little girl and how she'd been abused in the child protective services, raped over, repeatedly raped, and the hope that's in Jesus Christ. And those kids, some of them just kids, were absolutely spellbound as they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. They loved not their own lives even to death. And I put my notes here. I'm sorry. I know you guys want to get in here. Listen, I've been up an hour and a half trying to get prepped here. The question I wrote down, what happened to us? What's happened to us? Hey, Silver, what's happened to us? We Christians, we American Christians, what has happened to us? And how long are we going to continue to allow this to go on? See, there are potential heroes all around us. They're all around us, man. They're not the Tony Perkinses and the James Dobsons and the T.D. Jakes. They're not, those aren't heroes. Those aren't heroes. They're all around us. It's the Joseph Allens, the Craig Mickles, and the Myras. We're finally standing up and saying they've had enough. If we could get in our heart, if we could really get some faith in our heart and truly believe, we would have to say we're sick. Believing that God, it's like the Almighty God's manipulating us, and He wants us to help it get just as, like he's looking for an excuse to be able to come. Hey, just let it get worse. Please let it get worse. Let it get worse. I want to come. Please let. That's the attitude of the church. Rather than saying, occupy till I come. Stand up, push back. Hold on, hold the ground. Our great, great national Christian ministries. They're in the toilet. Or what they call that in boxing, they're in the tank. Is that what it is, Silver? Are they in the tank on us?
I think so, yeah.
Well, I'm not in the tank. And I know a lot of people that aren't in the tank. And I'm not here, and I'm here to tell you we're still going to, listen, I'll let some of you, I got a lot of stuff I want to share with you. But I'll let some of you come on in. Let me get back to that page. I'm sorry. Let's go Larry, Alan, Jeremy, and then John. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, you know, God's will is something that is so, so difficult for us as humans to get a hold of. And, you know, I think that's one reason Jesus told us to pray every day for his will, as it is on earth, not as it is here. I mean, as it is in heaven, not as it is here on earth. And you got his will has basically two aspects. One is what his end goal is, what he would like to see the end result being. And the other, his will is what he allows or puts into place even, or what happens in order to eventually reach his desired end goal and stuff. And sometimes it seems like they are diametrically opposed to each other. But like you said, evil, he may allow this and does. I believe he does not only allow, sometimes he may even instigate and provoke people to do evil things like he did with Pharaoh every now and then. But he does that so that eventually he will have a few obedient people that join in there and get together and do what he really wanted to do to start with, but it had to go through some really bad stuff to get there because people are hard-headed.
Come in, Jeremy.
Hey, thanks, Coach.
Get on mute, Devin.
I don't know the exact verse, but to paraphrase, Jesus said that some of our own enemies would be in our own house. And I don't believe that he meant just our own homes. Mm-hmm. I believe he meant the church as well. So a thought that came to me was how can we fight the world when we're not even willing to clean up our own houses?
Well, in fact, the world's telling us that all the time, aren't they? The world's telling us that, Jeremy. Get your own house in order, and our house isn't in order. See, we're like a dog pound. You guys ever been to the dog pound? They got all kinds of animals. There are all kinds of them. That's what the church has become. Church used to be an exclusive place. People who were Christians were considered, I'm just telling you the truth. They were a different breed of people. And now the message is, everybody come on in. Everybody come on in here. We got us a big old dog pound here. Everybody come on in. And we've profaned the name of the Lord. I'm not saying that anybody's better than anybody else. That's not what I'm saying. I have rules and regulations. Some guy, when I was coaching football, some guy just couldn't walk up and be on the team. Just come up to me, tap me on the shoulder in the middle of the game, say, hey, can I play? Well, who are you? No. There's requirements to be on this team. Hate to tell you this, there's requirements to be on the Lord's team. Requirements. Rules and regulations you got to follow. Stay on the team. Oh, my God, so much we've been told it's wrong. John Scherer, come on in, then Alan.
Can you hear me?
Good to hear you, John. Yeah, I can, John. Good to hear you.
Yeah, I want to fill in a little feeling about your talk about the national Christian organization that we're not down there with right. You. I have worked with a lot of lawyers and politicians since 1992 about pro-life and so forth, and they really play a chess game. Just like Judge Moore, when he came out of that trial, he said this is going to go all the way to the Supreme Court, that he knew it was not going to be decided down there where you were the other day.
That's right.
So that the national lawyers and so forth working for Jay Sekulow and all that, they will jump in when it gets to that level because they know that's where the ultimate decision is going to come from.
I agree with you. But that doesn't give an excuse to Jesse Duplantis. It doesn't give an excuse to, hey, Pastor Tony Spells, yeah. And congregation didn't turn out, folks. Not really. They didn't.
Yeah, Duplantis is a local charlatan anyway.
Whatever. He wasn't here. He's right in his own right backyard. Hey, Pat Robertson wasn't here with his camera.
I wasn't there either, but I couldn't make it, so. I was with Judge Moore down in Alabama.
I remember, John, I remember it well. Hey, listen, okay. Folks, we don't have to apologize.
Yeah.
Huh? Listen, the scripture does tell us this. If the trumpet blast is uncertain, who will go to war? And see, we got an uncertain trumpet blast in here, don't we? We don't even know the will of God. Come on in, Alan.
Coach, can you hear me all right? I'm way up here out in the woods in Maine. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can.
Anyway, what I want to say, I preach Sunday night about everything that's going on, Coach, about you, your ministry, just a lot of different things. All of us is really called radicals. I mean, the average church in America will call all of us crazy. They yep. call us radicals. But here's what the scripture showed me in the last couple months, Coach. We're people that have finally come to realize what the word means when it says in the land of the living. We've come to realize and understand how much Jesus Christ loves the land of the living and why he put his life down. He laid his life down just for the land of the living. And we've got to that point where we realize and understand exactly what that means in the Bible, in the land of the living. And we've got to do everything that we can while we have breath in our lungs and while we have a heartbeat to do everything we can to win souls and to win babies that's going to the abortion mill in the land of the living.
Amen, Alan, buddy. We're yielding it over to the land of the dead, aren't we?
Hey, Coach.
That's happening. Yeah, Glenn.
Hey, Let me just piggyback on what Alan just said. That was really good, Alan. I was reading. Can you pull up Spencer, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 10 and 11? Joe, could Joe read that? I think this goes along with what Alan is saying.
I think Joe can read it better. Will he?
Yes, he can read it.
Ecclesiastes 9, 10 and 11. Go ahead and read that, Joe.
Okay. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest.
That's where I'm heading, Joe, in the grave. Once you step foot in that grave, it's all over here, boys and girls. All the good you could have done is all over. Living for tomorrow is not a very good philosophy. Go ahead.
I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance, happiness to them all.
Mm. So what are we going to do with that time and that chance? Because it happens to all of us, doesn't it? Right? Do we make chicken salad out of chicken dung or not? Do we lay down and sit on the couch and lay on the couch and eat potato chips and drink Coke and say, oh, well, that's the way the Bible says it's going to happen. I'm just going to ride this one out. Is that what we're supposed to do? I don't think so. That's where we are. Hey, listen, I'm not doom and gloom today. I promise you I'm not. I got great, 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 great anticipation. In fact, maybe I ought to change gears. Start talking about some great things, some testimonies of a great, great, unbelievably great weekend. I had several people tell me last night who had never been to the clinic before. Some of them had their first visit ever to the abortion clinic yesterday. And you know what they said? A couple of them said to me, Coach, if we could do this all across America, we could stop abortion. I think, duh. Duh. Oh, my goodness. Why is that message so hard to get out? Duh. But we don't. We don't do it. Anybody got a testimony? Hang on, I got to play this. I watched this. I can't remember who sent it to me today. Spencer, I sent you all this stuff. It's entitled, What Happened to Us? What happened to us? Somebody, who sent it to me? Whoever you are, thank you. I got a real quick view of this morning. It's on BitChute. It's about 3 minutes long. It's entitled, What Happened to Us?
One, two, three, four. Shut your mouth, get in line, just behave or pay the fine. They're pulling on your back. Taking out your spine, they want you weak. Don't speak, don't question, don't think. Keep staring at your smartphone, get dumber every week. Now give up your freedom and shush. Oh Jesus, what happened to us? Leave the church, kill your faith, judge the skin and learn to hate. Make yourself the enemy, but call yourself a saint. Learn the rules, be a fool. Remove your kid from school and apologize for everything. Apologize for you. Now give the TV all of your trust. Oh, Jesus, what happened to us? Mark, Jack, Bill, Joe, they'll tell you what you need to know. They'll give you your permissions and tell you where to go. Lights, camera. camera action in it. We're so pathetic. You believe it cause you watched it. You believe it cause they said it. Now everybody stay home and rust. Oh Jesus, what happened to us? Shut your mouth, get in line, just behave or pay the fine. They're pulling on your backbone and taking out your spine. They want you weak, don't speak, don't question, don't think. Keep staring at your smartphone, get dumber every week. Don't nobody put up a fuss. Oh Jesus, what happened to us? Jesus, what happened to us?
Wow, what happened to us? What happened to us? WP getting lightened for truth. Come on in, dude.
Morning, Coach. Morning, everybody.
Morning, baby.
On Friday there, I had a presentation. Everybody here knows kind of what I'm working on. Yeah. And the presentation was on Sunday, but I told everybody about it on Friday. So come Sunday, when the presentation was supposed to occur, my camera on my computer died, and I didn't get a notice as to the link for the presentation itself. And I believe that fully was the Holy Spirit. So having faith, the Lord shows up, and if you're not meant to do something, he'll stop you from doing it. Mm. I found out later that the person I was presenting with wasn't too keen on me presenting. Let's just put it to you that way. Just wanted to encourage you, if you have faith, no matter what the situation, the Lord will show up.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't always show up in the way that we want him to, though, does he? That's why we get frustrated. Lord, I prayed, as Larry's so often tried to teach us, Lord, I prayed and I prayed and prayed, and it didn't happen, it didn't happen. Yeah, well, it comes back to where we started. If we trust him and believe him and obey him, then what happens is his will. Folks, we got a perverted view of God. Come on in, Jeff. Thanks for coming down, Jeff, and Pastor Bill and Tommy.
Coach, we all loved it. We loved it. Tom is on fire. Here's a quick one after you just showed that video. 21-hour flight down, 21 hours before we got there. This one yesterday, we made her back in 6. Everything went smooth, all except for the mask Nazi on the plane. It was ugly. Walk on the plane right away, got my OSA Jesus the Standard shirt on, Bible in hand. I open up the compartment very back to put my luggage up in, reached up in to move one bag to stick mine in. This guy, airline steward, a black guy, he was gay, attacked me. I mean, he ripped me. Don't touch that. I'm like, buddy, what is up? It was their luggage. And there was no other place to put it. Oh, he attacked me right now from jump. And so then it was on the whole 3.5-hour flight. He ripped us. Ripped us. Well, he finally come to us. Tom's getting mad. Oh, he was just madder than a wet hen. So we were talking to Tom. I told him, here's what we're going to do. Because they keep announcing that. It's a federal law. Da 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 da. Up over your nose. He said, don't make me have to write you up. I said, oh, buddy, go for it. Write me up. He's like, he said something. And I said, listen, you've been on me from the start. You picked us out right as soon as we walked on. And you have not let. No, he says, that's your opinion. I said, no, that's my truth. No, that's your opinion. I said, buddy, listen to me. That's my truth. I said, well, I'll have to write you up if you don't put that mask up. I didn't put it up. Just over your nose. I said, buddy, do whatever you got to do. Me and Tom were talking like, buddy, we will get Tom on the phone. We will file the lawsuits against him. And I will file racism on that dude. We was talking about it. So you know what we did? We waited till the end of the flight. Everybody was off. We opened up the thing, got our bags, and walked up and walked off with the two pilots and addressed the pilots. Oh, them pilots were agreeing with us. They thought that was ridiculous. But then he come walking off, seeing us standing there, talking to the two pilots. The look on his face was precious. You know what I mean? It was just priceless. But we just stood, and he backed down.
Amen, Jeff. I'm glad you got home quicker. And, okay, listen. Okay, I wasn't going to do this because it's so long. But, this is what we have to start doing, okay? It says, which one is it? It's the Mom and Mount Carmel. Does anybody see that? Mom and Mount Carmel. Hey, now, Spencer, put this thing at about time and a half. Hey, boys and girls, hey, listen. See, we got it backwards. School board works for us. Those are our schools. The schools don't belong to the school board. Hey, the schools don't belong to the school board. The schools don't belong to the teachers. The kids don't belong to the teachers. The kids don't belong to the school board. The kids don't belong to the state. The schools don't belong to the feds. The kids don't belong to the National Education Association. And we get up every day, pay our taxes, send our kids into those schools, and all they do is program against us. They program our children against us. I don't know who sent me this morning, but it's worth watching. The whole thing's worth watching, but we're not going to watch the whole thing. We need more of this. Huh? More of this. Go ahead and play it. This is New York. Mount Carmel, New York.
I'm here tonight not only as a community member, but as a parent in this district. Recently, you sent out a survey wanting to know why parents were not voting yes for this budget. So my situation, my vote for no is a little different. I think the Board of Education and those sitting on the panels are thieves. I think they're liars and have committed treason against our children. My message to this district and the members of the Board of Ed, stop indoctrinating our children. Stop teaching our children to hate the police. Stop teaching our children that if they don't agree with the LGBT community, that they're homophobic. You have no idea each child's life. You don't know what their family lifestyle consists of. You don't know the makeup of their life. You have children like mine who is Muslim and I'm Christian. And everyone would think they would never believe that of her, right? Because the way she looks, or according to Miss Cyrus, she's too pasty white.
Ma'am, excuse me, I'm up here. We're not allowed to use names. If you have something you'd like to discuss about a specific person, you can call the superintendent or leave your info for her to call you tomorrow.
Why are we not allowed to discuss names? Why am I not allowed when they purposely themselves expose themselves on social media talking about calling for the death of a former president or saying that any child that doesn't believe in Black Lives Matter should be canceled out? Is this what my tax dollars is paying for? You're teaching my children and other children that if they believe in God Almighty, they're part of a cult. These educators put their own names out there. We have Mr. Barry, who took it upon himself with Ms. Cyrus to create a curriculum. Do you want the proof? I have the proof. You created a curriculum of Black Panther indoctrination.
Ma'am.
You use taxpayers' dollars.
Can I ask you one more time? I have no issue hearing what you have to say, but...
Why can we not let the public speak? Why can't we let the public know that you're teaching our children to go out and murder our police officers? Do you want the proof? I have the proof. Is that what scares you, the proof? That a parent actually standing up against all of you? Is that what scares you, to call out the names of these people? You work for me. I don't work for you. You have a duty. We are entrusting our children to you. We teach our children morals, values, when they grow up to commit crimes and end up in prison and kill a police officer. It's our fault? No, it's your fault. You're emotionally abusing our children and mentally abusing them. You're demoralizing them by teaching them communist values. This is still America, ma'am. And as long as I'm standing here on this good ground earth of God, I will fight. And this is not the last of me you will see. I'm retired. I have nothing else better to do. We can do it peacefully, or we can take it to the highest courts, because you know and I know I'm not the only parent fighting this all across America right now. Schools are trying to poison our children's minds, teaching them about things that they have no right to be taught in school.
So normally, I'm just going to, if you don't mind, I'm going to just give you just a feedback for a moment. I have no problem having a peaceful discussion. This is not a peaceful discussion.
No, that's your opinion. See, here we go again. This is peaceful. To me, this is peaceful.
Well,
I'm not burning, looting, and murdering. This is peaceful.
No, I did not accuse you of that, but I don't have a problem having a conversation with you, a peaceful conversation, which is this is not.
$6.95 per child in the middle school to buy a curriculum from readtome.org that wasn't even approved by the Board of Ed. The administrators took it upon themselves to buy these books with taxpayer dollars. while COVID is going on. How many families are struggling to pay their mortgages? Listen, by all means, you want to teach kids these things, fine. Don't do it on my dollar. Don't infringe on my religious beliefs. Don't infringe. Do you know who makes up the majority of this district? Children from police officers' families. Blues. Back the blue children. Do you know what these children feel like when they come home? Have you spoken to them? No. You're silencing them. This whole cancel culture. You're silencing the children. Where are their rights? They have no rights. Because if they don't believe in the indoctrination, the demonic, twisted, sneaky, vile acts and education, if you call it that, that you're teaching our children, they don't agree with that. They're either homophobic, they're part of a cult, they're racist. What's racist? Who defines racist? Why? Because do you know what race I am? Do you? You don't. You don't even have an idea. I could be black, I could be white, I could be Asian. You don't know. Who are you to determine that? Who is anyone to determine that? You know what? Children in the school system, children like other children, they don't look at color. Black and white children, Hispanic children, you know why they get along? Because they don't look at each other's color. So you're the racist, not them, not us. You're judging and dividing. You're causing segregation. Everything that we fought for, everything that I fought for years. So you have the right to stand here and tell me I'm not allowed to mention a name when the person, the Mr. Barry and Miss Cyrus themselves, you have ELA teachers giving out assignments on police murder to police are bad. You want the proof?
Okay.
Because we have it. So what policy do you have that teachers are not allowed to go on social media and indoctrinate? They took an oath, a responsibility, and they're going against everything that they stand for.
End.
Well,
end.
I understand.
End it? End it? I have to end it?
So
why? Why? You're on my dollar. Why?
Well, actually, I work for nothing doing this.
Oh, you work for nothing. Oh.
I do. This is a volunteer position, number
okay.
one.
It's
number
still two. My taxes paying for everything. This podium is every taxpayer's dollar here. We have rights. We have rights.
And you're making general assumptions?
No, I'm not making assumptions. I'm not. I know what I'm speaking about. See, I don't agree with you, so it's an assumption.
Well, I'm not going to engage in a back and forth with you about this. So if you'd like to make an appointment, I would be happy to sit with the superintendent.
I don't want to. The superintendent, the assistant superintendent already sent an email and stated that they had no idea that these books were being put in the students' hands. The superintendent already stated that they had no idea that the funds of taxpayers were supporting this. Black Panthers. Do you know Black Panthers is a domestic terrorist group? Do you know that it was condemned as a terrorist group? Do you know they kill cops? I have a problem when you're trying to kill a police officer. I have a big problem with that. I have a problem when teachers are passing out flyers, recruiting children to go to the courthouse to protest Black Lives Matters. When you have people sitting with signs that says all cops are bastards. Really? All cops are bastards? No, I think you people are, because the way you're acting and the way you're treating our children and our police officers and making them believe that it's okay to abuse them, I'll be damned if I'm going to sit here and let you do that.
I
will become your worst nightmare, because I'm going to stand here and keep fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting. And if not, I can actually go out, get signatures. What happens if we stop paying school taxes? You're going to arrest all the community, the majority of the community? No, I don't think so. This won't be the last of me. I want everyone to know what's going on, because you're hiding it. You're hiding it. You know who does that? Communists do that. That's what you're doing. Recruiting children. Children. You're recruiting children to hate our police officers. How dare you? You have a librarian in the high school passing out Black Lives Matter pins. When a student asks for a blue live, why would I have that? Why would she have that? What did you do for police week? Why don't you tell me, sir? What is it you want to tell me?
You've had your 2 minutes.
I don't need 2 minutes. I can go as long as I like.
No, that's not the point.
No? Oh. Where does it say that I can't? Is there a law against that?
We do have a policy.
A board policy. Who makes these board policies?
The board.
The board. And who pays the board?
Nobody.
Nobody? The chair you're sitting on, we pay for it. The lights that are on, we pay for it. We pay for everything. You want to silence me because I spoke the truth. I spoke the truth. Everyone out there heard me. Whether they agree or they don't, they're going to start looking into it. And now you're exposed. That's all. It's going to end. This indoctrination and hatred towards our police officers, the systematic racism and cancel culture, it's going to end. You came to the wrong school district to do this, okay? You need to respect every child. So therefore, no politics should be discussed in school. Whether it be conservatism, democratic, liberalism. You gave a survey after the elections. Why? Why did you ask students who they voted for? What did it matter? No answer, huh? You have no answers for me. I didn't expect an answer. That's okay, though. We'll get them some way or another. Same way you can't show us where all our money goes, right? Yeah, that's what I thought. Thank you.
Amen.
Coach, no rules, right? No
Amen.
Rules, all rules.
You're muted, Coach.
Local. Those guys didn't even know what to say. Be armed with information and go local.
Hey, Coach, don't mess with Mama Bear.
Don't mess with Mama Bear. Don't mess with Mama. We need some more Mama Bear. It'd be good to have some Papa Bears, too, wouldn't it? Come on in, Randy.
Coach, that is what Paul means in 2 Corinthians 4:13 when he says,
We believe, therefore we speak. That is what he means right there. There's the context of that scripture.
Amen. Silence isn't a virtue, boys and girls. What was it Patrick Henry said? If I would keep my silence at this time, at a time like this, huh? If we keep silent at a time like this, are you kidding me? Come on in, Paul Webb. Thanks for coming, Paul.
Oh, hey, no problem. I was glad I made it. I really was. It was life-changing. Couple things. You notice whenever they confronted with the truth, they want to say, well, ma'am, you're being too rowdy.
Yeah, violent, rowdy, right.
Being too violent. It's real funny. And then another thing, too, we need to start turning tables on these clowns. When they just want to call you a homophobe, we'll say you're a Christian phobe. How about that?
Amen. Christophobes. That's right. That's right.
A truth phobe.
That's not very Christian, Paul. That's not very Christian. See, I don't know where we got this idea of a rollover and take it Christianity, because I don't think you'll find it in the Bible, and you certainly won't find it in American history, and you certainly won't find it in non-American history. The idea that Christians are supposed to roll over and let them walk all over. Jesus said that's what they do to salt that's lost its savor. They trod all over salt that's lost its savor. And what we're seeing is the enemy of our soul, Satan himself, is doing everything he can to have Christianity be at the heart of the cancel culture, boys and girls. It's at the very heart of it. Somebody come on in. I've rambled a lot.
Hey, Coach, just want to say it's TV Christianity. That's what it's been. It's not real Christianity.
What do you mean by that, Benny?
It's the exact opposite. Real Christians don't take this nonsense.
Real Christians don't take this nonsense. They don't. We got to stand up. Come on, somebody come in here. Somebody, a reflection on this weekend, a testimony, whatever. We got 13 minutes. Come on back in. Go ahead, Clay.
Yeah, Joseph wanted to bring up that bumper sticker that was on the back of that car. What did it say, Joseph?
It said, this vehicle is protected by witchcraft. This is what's wrong with our society.
This is what's wrong with it. Freedom of religion, I guess, Joe. What Joseph was talking about, a picture I took at the abortion clinic, that's what's said on the back of one of the death squad's cars. It had a bumper sticker that said, this car is protected by witchcraft. They're out in the open. They're not even hiding it anymore. By the way, anybody seen Jesse Duplantis? Anybody out there? Tony Perkins, you ran across him the last couple days? They be hiding. They be hiding. What's that song? You left me just when I needed you most. You guys remember that?
You hey, Coach, we can go.
Left me just when I needed you most. Where are they? Where
Coach,
are they?
Would you like to take a live Facebook trip over to Jesse Duplantis' house today? He lives, if you were at my church and go directly across the Mississippi River, you ready for this, folks? Not 3,500 square foot, 35,000 square foot home sits right there on the corner.
Unbelievable. I guess he couldn't drive his car into downtown New Orleans, could he? Hey, Silver, you ready to read for us there, brother? Isaiah 56. You pull that up for us there, Spencer. Put it up on the screen. Hey, guys, listen. Girls, I want to encourage you a couple things. Number one, there's an unbelievably huge awakening going on. It's a huge awakening going on. You can feel the rumbles of it. You don't see it. You see spots of it, just like we saw with that lady. It's happening. I'm telling you, it's going on even right now. But if we will come to the realization and admit to ourselves that we are really and truly at war and have been at war, it's an information war. It's a psychological war. It hasn't turned physical yet, but it's a war. And we've been sitting around like sitting on a park bench and letting somebody come by and slap us all the time. And we don't push back because we think we're supposed to turn the other cheek. And in the midst of it, they're stealing everything precious from us, everything precious. And I said to had a back and forth with a couple cops down at the abortion clinic. It was peaceful. But when I was done, maybe it was Joe Allen. I think I was sitting by Joe. I said, you know, why is it the cops are always on the side of the government and never on the side of us? They're never on our side, ever, ever, ever. How do we get in a country where the police become nothing more than the extension of the government? When the purpose of all government, including the police, is to secure our rights, not enforce laws, secure our rights. But that's what happens when you get an overreaching, over arm of a tyrannical force called government, called whatever you want to. That's what happens.
Well, Dave, it all comes down to, sorry, it's Chad, good morning. It all comes down to the same thing for the churches as it is for the cops. It's the money.
It's the money. The
financial backing, that's kind of things. They don't want to lose their funding. The churches don't want to lose their government funding. And the police don't want to lose their government funding, their government retirement, those kind of things. It's tough to take a stand, you know, it's just tough.
No, that's a great point, Chad. That is a great point. One of the things, just before I have Joe read this, folks, anybody who was there yesterday can attest to this, okay? We were outside that abortion clinic, that murder mill called a clinic. Jeez, is that programming? A clinic? Well, outside that murder mill, and we overwhelmed them, by the way. It was really, really good. And folks, while we were out there for a couple hours, 2.5 hours, hey, Jeff Klein, anybody out there, how many white women did we see walk into that abortion clinic? I'll help you, Jeff. None. None. And wasn't it ironic that the hostess, the lady who was like the manager of that abortion clinic, why, she'd be black. And wasn't it amazing that the security cop standing there, why, he'd be black.
And Black Lives Matter, Coach.
And wasn't it amazing that all of the escorts, the death escorts, who put on their little rainbow things and stand out there and escort women in to murder their babies, every one of them were white. And so there was the picture. Black genocide. Black genocide. See, if the Christian church wanted to end abortion, they could ride that horse clear into sunset. End abortion. It's racist. Number two, what's the word? Snake bitten. Too ashamed of being whitey to point out what was the obvious. Oh, but so much fun standing on that corner and pointing out that black lives didn't matter there. Black lives didn't matter at that abortion clinic. Stop lying. Black lives don't matter here. Hey, how many? Hey, Joseph, I said, hey, how many of you voted for Biden? Hey, is there any Trump voters standing here killing babies? Is it Trump voters killing these black babies? No, no, no. Y'all Biden voters. Y'all Biden voters. You're the greatest racist. Oh, what a picture it was. What a picture it was. Gosh. Hey, Silver.
Yes, sir.
Read this here, brother. This is ultimately, this is what it's about. And this is Isaiah 56. Did I give you the wrong one, Joe? That may not be what I want. It's the wrong one. Spencer, go to the other one. I got two. 58. Thank you, man. 58. You got up there, Joe?
Here I go, all practiced up on 56.
Hey, hey, Joe, hang on a minute, folks.
All right.
Hey, folks, are Christians supposed to cry aloud? I thought Christians were supposed to be meek and mild and get along with everybody. Well, Isaiah didn't say that. In fact, Isaiah said, turn your voice into a trumpet. Go ahead, Joe.
Isaiah 58. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God.
Because we were righteous, Joseph. Hey, folks, this is past tense. This is past tense. Go ahead.
Wherefore have we fasted, they say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice be heard on high.
Listen, Joseph, folks, do you understand what he just said there? You're fasting for all the wrong reasons. When you fast, you try to make your voice to be heard on high. You see that? Go ahead, Joe.
Amen.
Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord?
Do you see that? It's all pomp and circumstance and ceremony. He said, do you think I want that crap? Do you think it's going to move me?
Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out of thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh?
He said, try this. Try doing it this way. Try doing it this way, and then something's going to happen. What's going to happen, Joe?
Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity. And if thou draw out the soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not.
One more, Joe, one more verse. I want to get these folks in here real quick.
And they that shall be of thee build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in.
The tourniquet generation. Come on in, Kevin Van Story, then Roger.
As I walked up there, and I just got to thank you again, Coach, for giving us all an opportunity to be with you and do this event. But as I was walking up to that building, the Spirit told me to blow the shofar twice on each corner of the building. And as I walked around to the back corner, I prayed that within 120 days, that the Lord will bring down a fire of lightning and fire from heaven and destroy that building and leave it nothing but sand and ashes.
Mm.
And I'm making that point right now. But mark that down. 120 days, that building will be nothing but sand and ashes.
Amen. Amen, Kevin. Thanks for coming. Raj, come on in, RJ.
I'll come into the post show.
Okay. Reggie, I'm trying to get people that haven't been in here. Reg, come on in.
Good morning, everybody. Kevin, I had a word from the Lord when I was there really fast, and I said it several times. It's going to be gone.
Folks, the abortion industry is teetering. Everything they believe is a lie. Everything they teach is a lie. A lie cannot stand. It cannot stand. But we got to come out from hiding, and we have to get out, and we have to engage the forces of darkness. And if you don't understand that the spigot, the fountain that is feeding all of this debauchery, this evil, the food is the blood of the innocent children in the abortion clinics, in the child trafficking, in children's services. We got to turn off the spigot. We got to stop the flow of innocent blood. God bless you, folks. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks.